Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the SFC Energy AG conference call regarding the Q1 results 2019. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulties hearing the conference, please press star followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. May I now hand you over to Peter Podesser, CEO, who will lead you through this conference. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much, Laurent, for the introduction. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thanks for joining our earnings call on the first quarter of 2019. As usual, and with pleasure, Gerhard Ehninger and I, we will lead you through the highlights and the key elements of our Q1 business here. Naturally, we will go in more details into, let's say, the segment developments as well as the financial results of Q1. After this, we would invite you all to come in with your questions and comments in the Q&A session. Let me start with the key elements, the highlights, and the core topics. If you put it in a nutshell, looking at Q1, what we are seeing is a strong growth driven by a dynamic environment in our civilian applications as well as in the international defense business. This dynamic almost helped us also to compensate for the effect of one single major order the year before to the German Armed Forces, delivered in Q1 of 2018. Saying these two effects result in revenues of 16.45 million, which is a slight decline of about 1.8% to last year's 16.75 million. Also, adjusted EBIT and EBITDA are subsequently below last year's Q1 numbers here with 1.5 million on the EBITDA level and 756,000 on the adjusted EBIT level. The corresponding Q1 numbers in 2018 naturally were, as said, dominated by a one-off effect. Besides driving the growth in all our segments here in the first three months of the year, one key topic was preparing for the rollout and ramp-up of our hydrogen product offering here. I can say we see ourselves well on schedule in certain parts of the program, maybe even ahead of plan, which I will elaborate on in a couple of minutes. As the key statement here for the ongoing year, I think we are on a good track, and we feel ourselves well-positioned to confirm our outlook for 2019 with, let's say, sales targeting to 67 or to the range between 67 and 74 million of euro revenue, and also adjusted EBITDA going up to the range between 4.5 and 7 million, as well as adjusted EBIT to the range of 5-6 million. Those numbers, and Gerhard will go into the details of, let's say, a change in rules here in a couple of minutes. Those numbers are excluding the effects of IFRS 16 rules. Now, let me look into the business and later on lead you through the segments. What we can report and what we see is that the dynamic of the 2018 market environment as well as the macro environment has been continuing, and from today's point of view, is continuing throughout 2019. Characterizing also the Q1 numbers means real positive macro environment leading to strong demand, and I think we can say in all markets. In particular, we can see this in a substantial growth and realized significant margin improvement in our non-defense fuel cell business in the civilian fuel cell applications. We also see this in our industrial segment here with the power electronics business on a robust growth path associated with margin improvement. But also, I'd say, the quadrupling of the international defense business is a key element of the numbers to be looked at. With the latter one, driving the internationalization, especially of the defense business, and also with the diversifying of the civilian business here outside the defense segment, we are naturally reducing a historical dependency on a single large account, speaking of our of the German armed forces. And also, the overall start into the year in oil and gas came off, I would say, more dynamic and more active than anticipated, I'd say, throughout the last couple of months of 2018 with a softening oil price in part of Q4. And more details, we will go into the individual segments just quickly after mentioning one more strategic topic here. We have laid a lot of emphasis and we have put significant resources in our hydrogen fuel cell project. We, as most of you and as most of you would know, and we have reported this in Q4 of 2018, we have acquired the IP and also the know-how here of hydrogen fuel cell products here through a license and JDA deal back in November 2018. The last couple of months were characterized here by building up supply chain, by building up the know-how in the technical departments of our team, by expanding the team, and by physically preparing the production here in our facility in Brunnthal. Just yesterday, we were able to report successful testing here with an independent testing authority in Germany to have the products qualified here for German government applications and German government projects. And today, the biggest solar off-grid and storage show here, Intersolar, is opening its doors in Munich, and we will be presenting the first set of products here together with our partner Adcor at this conference. Getting back to the development in the segments. As said, total sales generated 16.45, slightly down to the 16.75 last year. Key drivers here of growth, our industrial segment here and the clean energy segment, pretty stable with a slight growth. Oil and gas, in oil and gas, worthwhile to mention that we see first fruits coming out of our regional expansion program here to the U.S. And as mentioned in defense and security, we had naturally a particularly strong start last year with a spillover order, I would say, from 2017 in Q1 2018 here by our friends from the German Bundeswehr. But the ramp up of the sales here from 640,000 to 2.6 million in the international part of the defense business, we feel it's the right move and shows also, let's say, success of internationalization strategy. A few more words on oil and gas. Overall demand can be deemed as stable. Continued momentum in the market. Well, we saw further positive trend and demand here, especially for our what we call energy products, fuel cell based products, combined here with SCADA offering data transmission equipment. And we have, after signing up the first partnerships in the US end of 2018, we were surprised by, let's say, the speed of traction, recording first orders out of the US oil and gas industry, including also an order of a, let's say, significant player in this industry. Industrial segment, power electronics, good start, growth above last year's 7% growth throughout the year. We are at 9.3% in the first quarter. Good demand, strong demand from existing customers, particularly worthwhile to mention, let's say, the analytical segment business here. But for the further development of this business, also key that the market success of our semi-standardized modular product platform here for customers, especially in the laser industry, is starting to contribute positively here to the sales and to the growth. We have initiated a margin improvement program, and this has been ongoing or is ongoing till today and will continue to be pursued here and driven here by the management team. From naturally scaling effects to cost reductions and optimized cost structure by the transfer of the major part of the production to our facility in Cluj, to working on all fronts, being from suppliers to customers, talking about prices and I'd say reducing respectively increasing prices, we also see a margin and price mix effect. Overall, margin improvement, I think, on track in this segment. Just one more word on defense and security. Obvious and expected, the numbers here overall are, I'd say, below the numbers of 2018, but at the same time, we compensated a big part of the German business that was, let's say, unusually early in the year last year by international business. And at the same time, actually, we see two sides of the medal here. We have, objectively, a reduced dependency here from one single customer, but at the same time, it also shows the importance of this customer for our further growth in sales revenue as well as in profitability. And to be very clear here, in our outlook, the expectations are clear to see contributions by projects here from the German Army in Q3, latest Q4, but it's a year-end business and the procurement cycle, as much as I would like to, is really difficult to be accelerated. The star from a market performance in Q1, definitely, I'd say, our clean energy and mobility segment. 27.3% growth, almost 3 million revenues. And this is on a broad basis. So this is not the single project impact here. Many of you who are with us for some time will remember, I'd say, the impact we reported on last year of a single order here from Singapore the year before. Here we can say, this is diversified, this is, let's say, a solid national and international development here in terms of growth. Just yesterday, we had a big customer event here with partners and customers in from, let's say, ranging from Canada to Russia to the UK to Scandinavia, India, are discussing the further pipeline and the further project backlog here, as well as technical aspects of the business. And summarizing the outcome, I would say the momentum is continuing here. Major drivers in terms of segments is really wind and, I'd say, the surveillance, means civilian security business. On a further note here, our consumer business also showed double-digit growth here, year-on-year, means first quarter on first quarter, and we feel it's the first sign of revising and reversing the downward trends we have seen here for quite some time. One element that helped here definitely was the kickoff of a sales initiative here, driven also by our Canadian organization in North America, in Canada, as well as the US. With this, I would like to hand over to Gerhard to lead you through the financials.
Yeah, good morning, ladies and gentlemen, also from my side. And as Peter just mentioned, let me give you an update on our margins and earnings situations, and as well of the impact of this IFRS 16, which was mentioned before. The profitability in quarter one 2019 compared to the three months in 2018 looks as follows. The gross profit in the first quarter was from an amount perspective at 5.7 and 200K below the 5.9 million we had in the year before. The margin in total was 34.7%. Last year in the first 3 months we had 35.2%. So at least this is, considering that there was not this big Bundeswehr order in, this is I think a pretty good result. And looking at last year's average, this was 34.2%. We are also over last year's number, total number. The gross profit, as mentioned before, of the defense and security segment was down from an amount around 1.3 million to prior year, and ended up with was at 1.3 million. This was around about 860K less than the year before, but of course the impact came from this order from the last year. All other segments could improve the margin according to amount, but also as a percentage. In oil and gas, we moved from 1.8 to 1.83 million gross margin. In industry, and that's a very good move, from 1.05 to 1.3 million. In clean energy and mobility, the store, from 900K to 1.3 million. So I said in total, 200K less than last year, but considering our customer mix, this is a pretty stable number. So far on the margins, quickly a look on the percentages. Clean energy from around 39% to 44%, very good move. Industry from 27% to 30%. Oil and gas pretty stable, a little bit better, from 29.27% to 29.4%. And as said, defense from around about 49 to 43, but of course I did a calculation what would have happened without Bundeswehr last year, so we would have been on the same percentage what we achieved around about this quarter. But we're living not in a world what could have been. Let's look on the real figures. On EBIT we achieved minus 19, so you can see the figure is what it is. The year before was 700K. On EBIT adjusted was around about 750K. The year before, 1.5 million. The adjustments have been 775K for the stock appreciation rights program, which of course reflects the drive in the share price, which we all like a lot. Yeah. On the EBITDA, we achieved 787K positive compared to 973. I will talk about it in a second, why the difference is not so high. And on EBITDA adjusted, we achieved 1.5, 1.6 million compared to 1.8 million the year before. The net result of the period was minus 320K. The year before it was also 320K, but with a plus, and the earnings per share was minus 3 cents, and in the reporting period of the prior year, it was plus 3 cents. Let me point out this significant change in the IFRS standard, IFRS 16. IFRS 16 applies with beginning of the year 2019 and covers at least how we have to show our leases, what results in our opening balance sheet for 1st of January 2019 with a capitalization of around about 9.5 million in fixed assets, and accordingly the same amount, round about the same amount, 9.5 million for liabilities resulting from finance lease. How does this work? At least we have to consider all the lease we have, and 90% of this is the buildings we have here in Brunnthal, close to Munich, in Canada in Calgary, and in Almelo and Cluj for our PBF subgroup. So at least the rent we still have to pay over the duration of the contracts has to be capitalized, and in the same amount we have to set up an accrual and a liability from finance lease, short-term, long-term, you can see it in the balance sheet. And then the impact is that the building, the capitalized buildings and some parts, but that doesn't matter, has to be depreciated, so depreciation runs into the profit and loss, as well as some interests, because this all has to be discounted. This makes it a little bit more complicated, and this over all the segments, over all the P&L lines, I can tell you it's a nightmare, but at least it's the rule. And of course we have to show this finance lease, and therefore the rental costs fall out of the P&L. The main impact, there are two main impacts. One is on the EBITDA, because we have now depreciation, which is added again to the results. So we have show a higher EBITDA. And the other one is on the balance sheet. I will talk about this in a second, that the balance sheet, the equity ratio goes down as we have a prolongation of a balance sheet at the end of quarter three, still around 9 million, and this will be with us during the next 5 years, and once we prolongate a lease contract, a rental contract, the game starts again. Yeah. It is what it is, makes it not easier, but at least this is the rule we have to follow. Let me go back to the other things, and I will come back to this balance sheet issue in a second. The order backlog at the end of March 2018 amounted to 13.7 million, so this round about 40 million is a little bit less than the 16.9 million we had in the year before. On the balance sheet, as said, is the main impact is this capitalization of fixed asset at the end of quarter one plus 9 million, and also higher liabilities from finance lease, 9 million. So we have a higher balance sum of 9 million, and at the end, the equity ratio goes down from 43.3% to 35.4%. The good thing is that our covenants in our agreements with the banks are not touched by this, because in the big contract that we have here at SFC, we stated that this will not impact the covenants, and even for the Romanian and the Canadian operations, this is excluded, or the covenants are on local GAAP. The available cash at the end of quarter one totaled to 4.5 million. At the end of 2018, we had 3 million more, means 7.5 million. This looks like we had a cash burn of 3 million, but that's not the complete truth. In 2018, we had two orders at the end of the year, round about in total 3 million, And for this, the cash balance, and we also collected the cash a couple of days after we had the revenue, all before end of 2018. Therefore, the number of 7.5 at the end of 2018 was impacted by cash in, which usually would come in the beginning of 2019. This is the major difference or the major explanation. And therefore, we ended up at end of March with 4.5 million. At the end of March 2019, the group had 280 permanent employees. A year before, it was 263, so plus 17 employees, or this is almost 7%. Okay, with this, let me hand back to Peter, who will give you an update on our outlook for the rest of 2019. Thank you.
Thanks, Gerhard. Well, as stated in the initial comments, we are confirming our guidance and what is the background on the outlook. Well, we have, as Gerhard just said, slightly reduced backlog here on 31st of March. We are looking at, let's say, a couple of percentage points of reduction, but seeing that the order intake since then, taking into account the project pipeline, which is also touched upon before, and more so the overall momentum from a macro and micro means market perspective, we feel confident and confirm here the targets for the year without again repeating the numbers. I think that's the clear path forward, and being now, I'd say, in the mid of the second quarter, like the visibility given is, I'd say, a good basis for a judgment on this. So clearly on track in some of the programs ahead. Some of it is always seasonality, we know this, but all in all, well on track for what we have published here, 67 million to 74 million of sales revenue with the respective improvement of EBITDA and EBIT adjusted. And again, let me point out, those numbers in the guidance on profitability are excluding the effects and have been prepared without the effect of IFRS 16 implications. Before we go into the Q&A, I think it's also important to inform you that our project that we announced to the market here for the review of strategic options here for the future development and growth of the company that is supported here by two banks, ABN AMRO and Commerzbank, is ongoing. With this, I would like to conclude here, hand back to Laurent and open the lines here for questions.
Yeah, thank you, sir. We will now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for our speakers, please dial 0 and 1 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask a question. If you find your question is answered before it is your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you are using speakers equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. So we have the first question from Malte Schaumann from Warburg Research. Please go ahead.
Malte Schaumann, good morning. The first question is on your defense project pipeline. Maybe you can elaborate a bit on how talks are with your German customers progressing, and then what does the pipeline look like? I mean, you had some success or pretty good orders in the first quarter, so what do the potential contracts for Q2 and the following quarters look like?
Well, good morning, Malte. As usual at this point of the year, we are now in the second quarter. So after, I'd say, investment household gets released in the first quarter and only preparation work is done, we are, I'd say, in the work here with the project groups to simply, I'd say, release the next portions of our two programs here for the German part of the business. One is the next sequence here of our Elena portable network program. We have, let's say, clear confirmation here that the overall demand here for a 3+ year program has been fully confirmed here with more than 600 sets. But the work now is what part of it will be released and also funded here for 2019. The other part is, again, the vehicle-based, Emily-based program here. Defined and reported demand here is something between ranges from, let's say, 30 to 100 units in this product category. One of the reasons why we still go out with, I'd say, an outlook and the guidance that is, let's say, ranging from overall 10 to 20% growth is simply the experience of the last years that there can always happen delays. And so in our outlook, we, I'd say, have at least one of those programs in here on the lower end. And if both happens, we are ending at the upper end. International, yeah, really good development here early in the year in India. We just came back here from a site visit. We are hitting, I think, the need here for especially the remote areas here, northwest, northeast of the country, most of it border protection applications, portable as well as dismounted. The pipeline for this year, let's say, has not dried up by the first shipments here in Q1, so we expect further activity. Also, Israel, first shipment, Jenny 1200, a successful product already in use there now for 2-3 years. Subsequent activity is indicated by the customer so far. Decision making, usually faster than in other countries. So far, I'd say no real firm date on it, but also likely here for another add-on on order here in 2019. The other regional activities, well, next step in procurement here from the UK, we know reported demand for another set of vehicles here for Elena's. We have been, I'd say, investing significant time here into, let's say, smaller countries, smaller forces, including, let's say, countries like Switzerland. We see this is rounding up the picture here. Our whole team will be in the U.S. next week at the largest Special Forces Conference in Tampa for, again, first negotiations on initial pilot projects, means re-entering the U.S. market here with both product platforms. Whether this latter one really translates into orders within their fiscal year, which is ending end of September, rather unlikely, but a good preparation for 2020. So overall, pipeline very strong. Insecurity on timing remains.
Okay. How does the pipeline with other European partners look like?
Here, I would say where we are furthest or where we are, let's say, at the most concrete level of decision-making is definitely in the UK for further Emily shipments here for light all-terrain and tactical vehicles. Is it happening before summer? I'm personally, I would think there's a chance at least to get the order pro shipment. I would not expect to happen in Q2. It's rather than a Q3 exercise in the numbers, and the size of this is around a quarter of a million, whereas the German programs here are larger in size.
Okay. And then on the hydrogen fuel cell, maybe can I give an update regarding the timing, the development of the project, when potentially first deployments might take place, this kind of stuff?
Just now from a, let's say, technical production supply chain part, it is really, that Q2 and Q3, we will, ramp this up. I think within Q3, we want to see the first systems being built and ready to ship either for pilot or already actual projects out there. If we see especially this German government project here, a digital telecommunication network here for government organizations, this is in full rollout. Tenders were out for Bavaria and Baden-Württemberg. Bavaria tender is already closed, so decision-making could even happen before the summer break. We are, as a supplier here to our partner Adcore, qualified and tender outcome to be seen, but based on the performance of previous pilot projects supplied by Adcore, I think there's a valid chance to be selected for part of the program. We are talking here about 180 to more than 200 locations being deployed in the first lot, each containing two fuel cell units of 2.5 kilowatts. Baden-Württemberg, the second tender out, published now for a couple of weeks, tender closure within weeks here. 500 plus locations in the tender, but at least, and if I now recall it right, about one third is still specified for conventional. Off-grid power generation means generator, two thirds is specified for fuel cells. What we hear is that further federal states are preparing tenders as we speak, but the visibility right now is really, Bavaria as well as Baden-Württemberg, and in both tenders we will here together with our partners participate. Outcome to be seen, but we think we have a realistic chance to get part of this.
Okay, and the rollout then installation would take place this year already, or would that?
Initial installations, definitely only a fraction of this. The expectation here is initial installations already in late Q4.
Okay. Would that be included into your clean energy and mobile segment, or?
Yes.
Or be?
Yes.
Yeah, makes sense. Okay, and then a general question on the macroeconomic environment. I mean, do you see any impact potentially at PBF and the industrial or electronics industry-related business?
I think no one can exclude an impact here on this macro level. And the only factor that maybe shields us apart from the PBF segment is naturally really the push here for fuel cells and clean energy solutions. And in the power electronics business, especially the analytical market is pretty, independent in terms of their customer base, because it goes not only into industrial application, it also goes a lot of it goes into research and development, so it's not only a production-driven business or demand. So far, So far, definitely, let's say, no sign of cooling down in the pipeline, but I would not go to a point saying where we don't, let's say, you can exclude this by no means. Let's say if there is an overall impact, yeah, there will be naturally an impact indirectly on at least this segment.
Yeah.
Okay. But for the time being, no.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
So we have another question from Mr. Carsten von Blumenthal from First Berlin Equity Research. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Peter. Good morning, Gerhard. Pretty strong sales. I was quite impressed. This is because your clean energy and mobility business grew very strongly. You said it has a broad basis. So my question is, we can assume that you will have further good segment sales results in the next quarters in this segment?
Well, overall, yeah, the momentum, as said, and also discussed really with our sales partners and customers over the last days here in Brunnthal, we see continued demand and real dynamics in there. The regional distribution also limits the risk, let's say a cluster risk of a single project here impacting. What we definitely will see is also, again, seasonality here that usually ticks in late in Q2, but naturally in Q3, which is, I think, to be expected. But overall, sub-segments here with, I'd say, the civilian security and the wind business, and I think overall a repeat business, a scaling business here of our partners is just the robust backbone here of the growth.
All right, that sounds good. I also saw that the gross margin of the segment was pretty strong. Was that by chance because of a very positive product mix, or is that a gross margin you roughly expect in coming quarters too?
Hello, Carsten, this is Gerhard. On the gross margin for clean energy, yeah, it was indeed pretty high, but not unexpected. This is more or less what we also plan with. And of course, it helps a lot once we increase the revenue number on the overheads. We have a better allocation on that, and we had some good deals in. But of course, this should be something like the guidance for the upcoming quarters. If we always achieve on that level, we will see. But it shows that we are back to the 2017 margin where we had 43.7% as well, something like now. So it's more or less a guidance. But let's wait what happens the next quarters. But I'm pretty comfortable as long as we have a strong sales momentum in this segment.
Excellent. Very happy to hear that. The second positive surprise for me was the defense and security business. Of course, everyone expected that you will not reach the previous year's figures, but you largely compensated more than I expected, and you already elaborated on your pipeline. My question is especially for Q2. Just a few days ago, you had this 1.4 million defense order from a so-called Asian client, so I guess that is an Indian client. Will that be booked in Q2?
The predominant part already shipped and booked in Q1. Release here for the news by the customers took some time.
Okay, so predominant part. That then leaves the question for Q2. What do you expect in deliveries?
Our own planning, according also to the seasonality, is definitely, let's say, down here on the defense side, which at the end is just reflecting the procurement cycle now in especially Germany. So usually Q2 lowest activity, highest sales and preparation activity are pretty high. But on the revenue side, we expect this to be, let's say, down at around, let's say, I think 50% is a good mark of what we have seen in Q1.
Okay. When I see your order backlog, it is 13.7 million. That does not sound too big at the moment. So my question would be, in April and May, was our order entry satisfactory?
Yes, and I think we fully concur here with your analysis. It's, let's say, book-to-bill at that point in time, let's say, below one, never good to show, let's say, reduction of backlog. Order activity in the first part of Q2, pretty active. Industrial business, again, clean energy and mobility, but also orders here on the defense side.
All right. You mentioned the effects of the IFRS 16 change, and that is not in your guidance. When I see in your report that EBITDA changed by the effect of IFRS 16 was 560, and on EBIT it was 37. That means, I guess, higher depreciation of roughly 500 in Q1. Is that a run rate for the remainder of the year? And will you next quarter, will you include the consequences of IFRS 16 in your guidance?
Yes, Carsten, you're right. The run rate from this impact, and mainly it's on EBITDA, as you mentioned, will be 500K per quarter, so 2 million a year. It's an easy calculation. If you look, we have a 5 years contract. We capitalized around about 10 million, and so once it's done, once the contract is over, so it's 2 million per year. Bringing this into the guidance, and I thought about this the whole time, but more or less, and we agreed upon this. We will not change the guidance. We will always mention this, the guidance, without the impact of IFRS 16. And of course, I have to make a second calculation, what is already included in the report, how much is the impact from IFRS 16, so that we can compare apples with apples. But
yes.
We don't want to be a slave of IFRS 16. I am already a slave of that because the calculation is a lot of workload. But if we report this in the correct way, I think it's absolutely visible.
Yeah, and it's easy to calculate after you mentioned this roughly 500K in depreciation. So for the year, then we have a clear picture of the impact, and that certainly helps. One more question regarding oil and gas. This was pretty stable despite the in-between fall in the price of Canadian oil. After we have now seen the rise back to, say, old levels, do you expect more growth in Q2 in the oil and gas segment?
No, and the reason is less so through the oil price. It's just, let's say, the regional seasonality of our business, what is called in the industry breakup season. This is really when the permafrost here opens up, and due to a very severe winter and very cold period still in February, this is really delayed into now not only April like the years before, but also May. So we see an impact on the day-to-day activity throughout the quarter. So we are here cautious in our assessment, and we think we see and we expect a certain slowdown here for Q2. Overall expectation for the year fully unchanged.
All right. That was very, very helpful. Thank you very much for taking my questions.
Kirsten, thanks so much.
So we have no further question. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please dial 0 and 1 on your telephone keypad. So, gentlemen, we have no further question.
Well, so thanks to everybody taking the time. Thanks for your interest and also naturally the attention today. As usual, we naturally offer you all the possibility here for a bilateral discussion with Gerhard and or myself. Don't hesitate to get back to us with any question you have. With this, thanks again, and have a great day. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may disconnect.